This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Feyu, little mortals. It's me again, the spirit of motion. You know what it means when you hear my voice before the beginning of a Windshare recording at this point, don't you? Yes, this episode also contains a rune of protection. If you don't want to hear what this rune protects you from, well, skip ahead 30 seconds. This Windshare recording contains intense verbal argumentation on the topic of fantasy racism. If anger, frustration, and especially fantasy racism are not topics you can deal with right now, or ever, you can either skip ahead to after the more intense bits of the argumentation are over, around the 10-minute mark, or skip this episode altogether. If you don't want to miss out on what happens in this episode, head on over to our show notes, where you can find a link to our transcripts. You can either read the transcripts if you don't want to deal with the voices themselves, or you will find a summary of what happens in this episode there. To all who want to venture beyond this point, don't say I didn't warn you.
Is it alright that we just march in here like this?
They didn't stop us.
An open gate is usually an invitation to come in.
Are you sure? These guys don't look so happy to see us.
Ignore them. We're just looking for...
Hey!
Do you mean me?
Lynn!
God, he's sick.
What? Grayfur.
What?
What? In here?
Excuse me. What do you want here?
Let me handle this.
You there, filthy Grayfur. What do you want in our village?
We're not looking for a fight. Your gate was unguarded and open.
Was it?
Yes. It totally was.
Damn it. Cedric is slacking again.
Vora, tell him...
I know. He deserves a good spanking later. That slacker.
Well, not necessarily that, but...
We just came here to speak to your headmistress.
Oh, for Scuddy's sake.
Our headmistress? Excuse me. You have gray fur, black hair but no horns. You do realize that doesn't exactly make you utterly trustworthy, does it?
Yeah.
I do. But we've not attacked you yet, have we?
What exactly are you?
A filthy mongrel is what she is.
Vora...
Same as with that brown one behind her.
That brown one is definitely a scur. I've seen it before.
It's a raid.
It's a raid.
Oh, shit.
It's a raid.
No.
Hey!
No!
Hey!
Shit!
Hey.
I told you I should have stayed outside.
Calm down, everyone. If she says she doesn't want conflict, let's hear her out before we call in Kilintia.
You let me handle this time. Your mother wouldn't be happy if I let anything happen to you.
Don't patronize me, Vora. I'm perfectly fine of taking care of my...
Shut it, time. You there. Can I ask you what your Rontar is?
My Rontar are the Miru.
Ah, a Miru. So that rumor about them having a gem on their foreheads are true. How curious.
I've never heard of a mirror with gray fur.
I kindly request to speak to your headmistress.
You bring hostile company to see our headmistress.
What hostile company? Mel is pretty tame.
Don't shorten my name.
I'm sorry.
A tame scar. Yeah, no, that's ridiculous. That's like calling a blizzard a gentle breeze.
If you have anything to say to Kalentia, you can say it to me. I will pass it on to her.
No, I will tell your headmistress myself.
Oh, for Scotty's sake.
I'm sorry, but if you haven't noticed, we don't particularly trust gray furs.
Yeah.
So I have noticed.
If you have gray fur, you're either a skirt or related to one. And not only did you bring a disheveled skir mongrel along, you also brought a disgusting human.
Oh, come on! Disheveled? I just brushed him this morning!
How dare you bully my pet?
Your choice of company doesn't make you particularly trustworthy. So if you would be so kind as to tell us what the issue is, so we can decide whether or not to involve our headmistress,
yeah.
Listen, I don't have time to explain it to you. I just want to speak to the headmistress. I'm not asking for your hospitality.
Leave it to me to discern whether or not it's urgent
enough
to...
Frankly, I don't think this matter concerns a simple peasant.
Yeah.
Just tell me where to find
her. Peasant? I'm her son.
And you're a filthy gray fur with bad manners. Our headmistress has more important things to do than speak to someone like you.
Oh, come on. Just tell him already, Baka.
Your village might be in danger if you don't...
Are you threatening us?
Whoa. No, stop, Kaka! Just tell him about the stone.
Hey, time. Know what I think?
Mm-hmm.
A brown scar and a gray mirror seem like the perfect couple to produce offspring that
correct
the failures of their parents.
Yeah,
don't you think?
Indeed.
Whoa.
Perhaps they have already spawned
what
a litter of little gray mongrels, and they want to warn us of their brood coming to take our food.
Wow! First, you guys were just offensive, but that's plain rude.
We shouldn't be here.
If you're the headmistress's son, maybe I should remind you that you're expendable. Sons are worthless, so don't think I wouldn't hesitate to.
Fine, is your gray bitch.
Oh, so now you
are
threatening
calm
me.
Calm down, guys.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey, hold up, guys! Where are we going?
Back to the stone serpent. I'm going to unleash the thing,
what?
And it can plow right through that village for all
whoa,
I care.
Whoa, hold on! No! We are not doing that!
Don't try to stop me!
Are you... where, like... You.
What
are you?
Huh?
What?
Get to the point, Maliki.
What are you trying to say?
You want to let a whole village get destroyed for things two people said? And then you call me impulsive.
Yeah.
I don't care if it was one person or the entire village. If that one was the headmistress's son, who do you think he got his opinions from? That's right, from his mother. The headmistress reflects the opinion of the whole village.
Rude.
We tried to warn them, yet they insulted me instead.
They insulted all of us.
Yes, that last one didn't involve you. You wouldn't understand.
They insulted me as much as they insulted
yeah,
you.
Yeah, see? And Maliki could have made the earth turn into quicksand and swallow the entire village right there. But he didn't.
No, I couldn't.
I've had to deal with insults like that my entire life. I'm not letting this one pass.
My Rontar had to deal with this. For generations!
Yeah! And do you see other Skrr running up to free a giant stone beast to crash through villages? Hell no! Why did they even stop at that village in the first place?
I thought they at least deserved a warning about the stone serpent, in case we didn't manage to go back to it before it frees itself. I wanted to ask them if they knew of any suitable places nearby to communicate with spirits.
To summon a Veyron?
Yes.
We agreed not to do that.
We didn't agree on anything. We were focused on keeping the serpent in
you
check.
You want to summon Veyron over such an important reason. We can figure this out without one.
There are spirits that just took a bunch of stones, pretended to be a living being, and destroyed a good portion of the surrounding cliffs. Of course something like this would be of interest to a Veyron.
No! Any Veyron you summon over that will rip your soul right out of this world and tear it into tiny shreds.
No!
Hey, do Veyron really do that?
Yes! Of course not. Sure, Veyron can be intimidating, but they aren't as needlessly brutal and easily offended as he keeps claiming them to be.
If you believe that, you know nothing about them.
Oh, I still don't know whether to be chill about them or very, very afraid.
Of course you would have other experiences, Mongrel. Sensible score.
Hey! Well, why are you attacking us now? No need to be insulting!
If...
Askar wouldn't know how to formulate a suitable pledge to summon Vayrin without causing offense right away.
You prejudiced kid.
Askar don't know how to ask for a Vayrin's aid, don't know how to demean themselves before them, and are too proud to sacrifice a part of themselves to seal an agreement with them.
Well, calm down, Raka. We are all
me?
Here, but no one should take
this
it all
has nothing
you
to do
with... You idiot confined us to Scouter's Horn.
Yeah, for good reason.
Kirit forced us to adapt the harsh climate of the Skunder.
We did nothing!
Skunder were forced to focus on survival so much there was no space for building social structures.
You're not
all
capable
of... Kirit lived ignorant on Scouter's rotting hat.
What?
Eating the plentiful fruits of his decaying
flesh. Are you
flesh
talking about...
While we starved. You don't care what becomes of us, except when stray Skurki step over the border to seek food. Then you call us the spawn of evil.
You could just have stayed up there.
You don't know what Skurka really like.
I know enough.
No, you can't know, because you are prejudiced and don't allow us in the Kidia.
Yeah.
We're just trying to survive. So if we lack the subtleties of your complex society, don't hold that against us.
Guys!
Stop trying to play the victims in this!
Wait!
You score have earned your inglorious reputation as the great demons long before you were confined to this
Skunder. Calm down, Vaka.
Pillaging, murdering, raping?
That's...
You score plunged the whole of Zaya into turmoil in the Koshvaya War.
Hey!
We didn't just repress you to the Skunder on a whim or because we thought you looked funny.
Guys! Enough of that already! You hate each other's guts, I get it, but playing the blame game won't help us here.
Stay out of this, what do you know?
What do I know? Well, for one, I know that you're pretty much restricting yourselves from getting to know each other as people. Because you can't get over your friggin' prejudices. You're just throwing insults at each other for something your ancestors did. But was it Meleki who killed people and raided places in that war?
Of course not, but his
roots
are there.
Yeah, didn't think so. And Meleki, was it Raka who restricted the Skur... to the Skunder?
She restricts my effort now. She repeats the actions of her ancestors.
Because you've proven to be at least in part responsible for the tearing of the Tangleweave.
Calm down, Raka.
That proves nothing.
Of course it does.
No!
The way you've been using runes is proof enough for that.
Okay. Stop! Stop! Oh, damn you. As soon as one of you starts with a grrr, the other's also like grrr, and you stop thinking straight at that point. It's so damn annoying. I'm glad you both moved on from insulting each other's races to insulting each other personally now. But for God's sake, can this growling just stop? I'm getting hoarse just listening to you. Meleki has a point, Raka.
What?
You're restricting him because you suspect he was involved in that tumbleweed thing. But he's been pretty forthcoming and helpful for our groups thus far.
Helpful? Like that time when he brought us a golem to deceive us?
Aye.
Or when he summoned a stone storm around you?
That's...
Or earlier, when he almost made a cliff collapse on top of us? He is unpredictable, and that is why I keep him on a leash. He needs to know his
Raka,
place.
I know my place. And it's not at the end of your leash, bitch mistress.
I'm not a mistress.
Honestly, just stop. I'm tired of this shit. Raka, you better stop that right now, or you're not getting any treats. Great. Thanks. Look, we're not here to fight each other. We're trying to figure out how to get the spirits out of the stone serpent. Remember?
Right.
See? So let's get back to doing exactly that.
Suck it up, please. You're right.
By the way, did you notice that the wind shell is still on?
What?
I don't get it. I'm sure it was... Oh.
Well, it was off when I checked.
It just turned back on.
Oh.
Maybe it's the proximity to the stone serpent.
It shouldn't be. We're not that close to it. Sure you don't see any major spirits around?
No, nothing.
Meleki, you?
No.
Could it be a malfunction?
No.
Malfunction.
Meleki function?
I don't think it is. It's far more likely that someone that knows or understands the enchantment is playing around with it.
Maybe your friend in university is trying to call you?
Or he could be testing new enchantments. Whatever it is, I don't think it is a spirit's doing.
Could it be a Vayrin?
Don't be silly. Vayrin wouldn't interfere with our affairs.
Oh, do you? Meleki.
Yes?
You're knowledgeable with magics, right? What do you think this is?
I don't know, and I don't care.
At any rate, it might be someone trying to contact us.
What if it's a genuine spirit activity and Aurel only just updated the wind chill to turn off when they go out of range?
If it had been, you and I would be hearing sounds nearby.
Try speaking with tongues of flame. If they listen, they might respond, and your augmentation would finally prove worth butchering your face for.
Bite your fangs.
Are you still angry at her about earlier, or are you hangry?
Neither of her room carvings are useful. She just relies on you or me to be her eyes.
Just because it hasn't been useful yet doesn't mean...
You haven't heard any flow of knowledge, nor spoken with Tongue of Flame once.
I know, right? You had one job, Raka. One.
Don't make me unleash the stone serpent on the two of you.
You'd have to go through our vines first.
Don't underestimate me, Runt. My fire runes do come in handy, and they will make short work of those...
Did you try turning it off and on again?
What?
The windshield. Maybe it does have a malfunction.
I already told you. That's unlikely. Well, this is getting annoying.
Yeah.
Auril, I don't know if you're currently working on enchantments and causing it to turn on and off. If that's the case, I want you to give me a signal. I'll turn it off. Then I want you to turn it on and right back off again. Then I'll turn it back on manually to let you know that we got that. Just so we know if we should be looking for spirits or if you're just fooling around.
And what if it's not Auril?
Who else would... Okay, if you're not Auril, I want you to repeat turning the windshield on and off twice. I'll wait for a few heartbeats in between.
And if you're a malfunction, just don't take any action at all.
Lynn...
human logic.
Knock? Okay, fine, I'll stop.
Okay, remember, once if you're Auril, twice if you're someone else. I'll turn this off. Okay, once. Now turn it back off.
Okay. Raka, was that you?
No.
Creepy.
All right. This counts as twice.
What do we do now?
Either of you see anything unusual?
No.
I kinda see a blue and green thread connecting to the windshell now. I'm pretty sure that wasn't there before.
A thread?
Yeah. I don't know how to explain it.
No, that's fine. Do you see it too, Malachi?
I only see runes and spirits, not the weave.
Ah, right. Lynn, do you think you can follow it?
I think so.
It's the only lead we have. We might as well see where it goes.
Okay, let's go!
Well, this is getting annoying.
I think that's the last one.
What an Asami's dune is causing this.
Was this supposed to happen?
Of course not. I only recently added the enchantment that would string shorter recordings together, but that shouldn't... rebound like this. That aside, the last two sounded deliberate and in response to Raka's instruction.
Like someone was interfering with it.
Yes, exactly. That makes for a good new entry in my to-do list. Write that in this book, please.
Yep.
Things to work on in addition to a direction indicator. Work on a protocol that shows what or who caused the windshell to turn on.
Do you think that can be done?
I don't know, but I imagine that the enchantment would be similar to the Suyanyari coins. Have you heard of them?
I think so. Are those the coins which have the small spheres in their center?
Precisely. See, this is a Yari.
Yeah.
The enchantment on the sphere records to whom the item is last given.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, they can only be given, but never taken, which makes them great currency to ward off theft, but very bad for inheritance. Their introduction on the Suyan market ultimately caused their society to shift from a monarchy to a democracy. Makes you think just the kind of power money can have, doesn't it?
Well, what happens when you try to take one?
Try.
Ah! Oh, ow, it burns!
Exactly.
Oh. Not cool.
The sphere at its center bears a node to the fire lair and will heat up the sphere and metal if touched by someone other than the item's last recipient.
I'm pretty sure Suyan adolescents could do really creative pranks with this kind of money.
I heard some very rich Suyans used to put these on the ground around their homes so unwelcome nightly visitors would step on them.
Still not cool.
At any rate, these spheres were able to keep protocol on who the item attached was last given to. If I examine the enchantments a little, I'm sure I'll be able to find the right enchantment to protocol the reason for it activating. I've been meaning to study the enchantments anyway, but never really got around to it.
I hope you're right. Akessa. I think there was another recording being enchanted earlier.
Oh, you're right.
We have a slight delay to Raka. Maybe she figured out the issue by now. Could we listen?
Don't you have classes to attend to?
Is there Ripanuka?
All the more reason you shouldn't be here anymore. You should be home studying.
Oh, screw that.
Hmm?
That's for nerds.
Well.
That's exactly why I came here. I couldn't focus on my studies, and you offered me to listen to these to take my mind off.
Ah, right.
I didn't think I could focus on my studies with this issue unresolved.
Hmm.
And I'm really enjoying these. I want to hear more.
Sure, fine. But first, the references.
Yep, gotcha. References.
Data recording was the same as the last one. Vocal enchantments were woven by Cassie Rilinicky, Carolyn Monterola, Ethor Vitharsson, M. Cleveland, and Travis Vengroff, with special enchantments provided by at rune arch underscore DND and Casey Edison at rune child of Ginevra?
Ginevra.
Child of Ginevra, thank you.
Yeah, I know those two.
You do?
Yeah, we hang out at this tavern every week, the Lucky Die. Have you heard of it?
I haven't, no. It sounds awesome, though.
We play this little game together where we take dice and pods and we cast them into the web.
You cast pods into the aether web?
Yeah. Well, kind of. It creates a different form of magic. Mm. A magic told through stories and the role of dice and companionship and the ability to hang people at will. And then there are these giant battles.
I'm starting to understand Ithyavar's frustration with students doing strange things near the weave.
Oh.
No wonder there have been a whole lot more tangleweaves around Kaelruun lately.
Hey, those weren't our fault.
Oh, sure.
Though those tangleweaves around the city did give me the chance to see Raka work her magic firsthand.
Sure. Anyway, Walla was provided by the amazing talented Corinne Cromfley, Matthew Boudreau, Tal Manier, and Lucille Valentine. Music shells provided by Fui Madan. Audio enchantments by Sarah Baczynski of Polarity Audio Works. Written and produced by Cassie Rilinicky. You can find ways to support us financially or emotionally on trulinus.com.
But no Yari, please.
I wouldn't be opposed to some Yari if they were given to me.
But they're really hot.
But they're still worth a lot.
But not as much as your love. The emotional love you give us is worth a whole lot more.
Well,
although money is good too, except Yari.
Hey guys, Cassie here. I know this episode was a bit more on the intense side, so I'm not even going to hope that you enjoyed this episode. Or maybe you did, who knows. For all of you who are not aware, I am half Filipina and grew up in a white people country, aka Germany, which left quite its mark on me. I'm not going to go deeper into the subject here, but I just wanted to let you know that I've written this episode from a place of I've been there, and it contains some of my personal experiences with racism. Counterbalance has not only been an exercise for me to practice writing, but also a way to practice introspection and working through some of my personal issues, and a way to explore how one can grow through or even past such experiences. Some things Raka and Malachi threw at each other are not easy to look past, I get that. But this story is a journey of growth, through learning how to keep an open mind, patience, and understanding. There are only two more episodes in this season, but the Counterbalance journey is far from over. These characters still have a lot of growing to do, and I hope you will accompany us to the end of this journey. I don't really want to mar the message of this outro with a call to action, but if there's one thing I'd like to call you all to action to, it's to continue being lovely human beings with each other. You're awesome, all of you.
What would you do if I told you that the world is not what it seems?
You're telling me that potato salad is the key to other worlds? Ha! It's not even the best side dish.
And people are not who they appear to be.
I don't know that we can trust Master Goucher.
Well, I know for damn sure we can't trust Charles Edward Cheese.
My name's not Mike.
Where puns run rampant through the streets.
The Global Adventurers Guild Master Enterprises will not stand for this.
Well, it's gag me for sure, so I'm pretty sure they take everything on their knees, don't they?
And it's hard to tell who the real monsters are.
Well, yeah, it's a mimic. But I'm Francis the Lion.
Three heroes.
You have my sword.
You have my kazoo.
Oh god, my hip.
Face off against three villains.
Never again will they enslave me.
We'll make damn sure of that.
I'm Francis the Lion.
We know.
To keep the world of Euphrae from ripping apart.
This damn portal won't close.
Have you tried turning it off and back on again?
And Tim and Terry from getting even more screwed.
They're totally werewolves.
Yep, they're definitely werewolves.
Holy shit, those guys are werewolves.
Welcome to A Fool's Quest. A
Fool's Quest can be found on all major podcasting platforms simply by searching A Fool's Quest.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the spirit habit?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.